means of communion with God. George Muller says, "The first and great primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how much I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but how to get my soul in a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished." So now that we know what meditation is, what is the purpose of doing this? The purpose of meditation is to strengthen our love for God, to delight in God, and to effect long-lasting, deep change in our life. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." It is easy to have that head knowledge. I know in my head that I am supposed to love the Lord with all my heart. But thinking through how I love the Lord with all my heart is a different thing, because often my heart runs against something else, runs to something else, runs to love something else. And if I don't have the time to stop and say, is my heart loving God or is my heart loving this other thing, we will just continue running after the other thing. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, "You shall teach them to your children," them being the laws of God, "talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." What do we talk about all the time? Things that we love. Oftentimes it's things that interest us. And we all know this. We should love God. God should be interesting to us. But the way that we make God interesting to us is to actually think about him. We create time to think about other things, our favorite TV show that we've watched 3 or 4 times and we know all the characters and everything. Make that same time to let God speak to you. How many times have you heard a convicting sermon and gone away and by Tuesday or Wednesday forgotten all the ways that it might have changed your life and deepened your relationship with God? Sometimes it's even Sunday afternoon by the time that that thing that you wrote down in your notes that you will never then read again doesn't ever get thought about again. We need to create the time, and we do, Restoration does create a few seconds right after service for you to think about that, but that is not proper meditation. You cannot do proper meditation in a couple of seconds after service. You need to be purposeful in creating that time some other time. Oftentimes our heart, like I prayed, is a desert in the rain. The words just run off. If you have ever tried, I have a lot of plants at home. If you have ever tried watering said plant when you have not watered it for months, the water just pools on the top and then goes over the sides, or it even floods the thing before it's even gone down into the soil. That is how our heart is oftentimes when we come to church. We hear it. It's great. It's powerful word of God. But instead of letting it seep into our hearts, we just let it roll off. Meditation is creating that oasis, like building up berms of time around the word, protecting us from distractions, to let the word sink down from your head into your heart. Examples of meditation in the Bible is everywhere. Oftentimes, it is almost a side note, like he ate or he slept. Isaac, in Genesis 24:63, it says, "Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards evening." And then it goes on with its story. This is just a little aside. This was something that he regularly did in the evening. He just went out into the field to meditate. Joshua 1:8 is told, "The book of the law should not depart from your mouth. You will meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Jesus, obviously, went off frequently to meditate on the Lord. And what did he? Why did he do that? So that it was readily on his mind and on his lips when temptation came, when it came time to comfort the needy, lift up the wretched, or rebuke the proud. He used the words of Scripture to do that. Paul said in Colossians 3:16, says, "Let the word of God dwell in you richly." To dwell in something richly is not just to look at it and move on. So, we know who did it and what they did, but what did they meditate on? What are the things that are worthy of meditation? We meditate on lots of stuff every day. These are the things that are worthy of meditation. First, God's works and deeds. We meditate on God's works and deeds to remind us of his faithfulness. Psalm 77:12 says, "I will ponder all of your works and meditate in your mighty deeds." There are times when I don't love the Lord, and often it is because I haven't spent time thinking about what he's done for me. I spend time thinking about what he hasn't done for me, where I'm lacking in something, where I want something that he hasn't given me. But if I just take a minute and walk outside and look at the gorgeous wintry trees with no leaves and see their picture of rest in seasons, this is meditating on God's works. We meditate on God's law to remind us how life works best. And this is, I have stolen this from the Jesus Storybook Bible because I just love the way that they portray that. God's law is to remind us how life works best. God created us. He knows how we will work best. Psalm 119:23 says, "Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes." We don't have princes sitting plotting against us, but we do have things like the guy in the story who just had a bad week. We have lots of things that don't go our way. We can meditate on those things, but it doesn't make them go away and it doesn't make them any better. But if we meditate on his law and how life works best, this will help. God's promise, we meditate thirdly on God's promises to remind us what our hope is in. "My eyes are awake before the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises." That's Psalm 119, 148. This world is full of pain and sin and destruction, and it is hard sometimes to continue on through that suffering. But God's promises remind us that that is not what we hope in. That is not, this world is not our home. This is not our ultimate place. Meditating on his promises helps us turn our eyes from the day to day into what God has promised to give us and gives us joy even in spite of our circumstances. So meditation is moving from facts more than, yes, I know this, I've always known this, I've read this, and into application that changes your heart. Some questions to meditate on. And this is where we're starting to get down into really applying it into our lives. What are the gaps in your comprehension of the Christian faith? What are the things that you have been afraid to touch because you're not quite sure if you know the answer to? And if you don't think that you have any gaps, maybe start there, because none of us know everything about the Christian faith, because God is more than we can know, and he is also not afraid of our questions. So, do you understand pain? Why must good people suffer? What does it mean to take up your cross daily and die daily? Or what have you put to death this week? I'm not talking about meditating on foolish controversies, things that are popular to debate in Christian circles, things that divide Christianity on a hypothetical. As Titus 3:9 says, quarrels about the law. But these are the things to meditate on, are deep convictions that will change how you live your life in relation to God's truths. Or even asking if there's a truth that you believe that you are not living in accordance with. Are you actually loving God in specific actions of your day as you think over your day? If you really believe that God loves you and is all powerful and all knowing, do you fight against where he has put you? Do you long for something that he has not given you? Do you put all your energy to change who you are to be accepted by someone else when God has created you in his image? Where do you need to shore up your faith in times of rest so that times of trial do not shake you? This one's a hard one. There's a lot of times that we go on in times of ease, and then when trials and suffering hit, we begin to doubt God because we didn't take those times of rest to understand what it is that we truly believe about God. So one question that came to mind as I was mulling over this presentation was, why not just read a book about all these things? Why not just, someone else is smarter, they've done a lot of work, someone else got a publisher to publish them. Why not just read a book about this? Reading books is great. And it can be a good thing in addition to meditation. But a book is not going to be your specific conscience. A book is not going to apply things specifically to your life. A book keeps everything in the hypothetical. And a sermon too, will keep everything in the hypothetical and not actually bring it down to what does this mean for my life and how I act and how I change. So, two warnings about meditation. One, you can dig into uncomfortable truths about yourself. Give time for that. Meditation is oftentimes really uncomfortable, and we're gonna go through a meditation, and a lot of times it is uncomfortable and we don't want to do it. We make time for things that we love to do. This is one of these practices like working out where you do it to love it. Two, you can uncover uncomfortable truths about God. If you love everything about your God, you might not love the true God. We love sinfulness. And don't get me wrong, I am not saying that God is sinful. We love sinfulness. And so if our God is directly in line with everything that we love, we might not be looking carefully at God and seeing what God calls us to and what God asks us of us. There will be areas in your life where you say, I don't know that I like a God that says this. And I want to emphasize that you need to push through that uncomfortableness and sit with it, because our God is a loving God and he is a perfect God and we are not perfect. So move through the uncomfortableness, and it will not be immediate. We are an immediate culture. We love everything right now. It could be weeks or months of wrestling with a truth that you're not quite sure that you like before God opens your eyes and the Holy Spirit works on your heart. Continue meditating. So now we know what it is. We are going to move into the how. And we are going to move into the how by actually doing it. First, in order to meditate, you must know the Bible. In that first story that I told, the woman who was giving the presentation, she knew the subject matter that she was presenting. Before she started meditating on it, she knew it. Meditation cannot stand on its own. It needs to be preceded by study and memorization, recalling to mind the truths of the character of God, the power of God, the word of God, and the gospel of God. Give space for the working of the Holy Spirit. Constant noise of our culture, radio, Spotify, podcasts, TV, Instagram, how much of your day is actually spent in silence? When you do start being in silence. Your brain will start to bring things up because it's been drowned by all this other sound. Oftentimes you'll sit to meditate and, oh, I forgot to put the laundry in the dryer and I need to pick up this. And your brain starts pummeling you with all of the things that you haven't been listening to because everything's been noisy. This is going to take practice, but you can bring your mind under control. Sometimes if my brain is just overworked, I will have a pad next to me and just write down everything that comes to mind and just put it off. Okay, I will deal with that later. Now back to meditation. You may have to work on other areas of your life in addition to meditation on the Bible, letting your brain have a silent time in other times that is not your focused meditation time. This may be something that you need to work on. So there are two different types of meditation that I've gone over here. Planned meditation, which is facilitated by study, a specific space and time set aside. And as Catherine has spoken about in other women's nights, this is where habit stacking might come in. So if you're already doing a Bible study, put meditation at the beginning and at the end of that Bible study. That is planned meditation. You sit down at a specific time of day. And then we have situational meditation. This happens in the busyness of life. I have prepared my situational meditation. So I know every morning I have to get my kids out the door. Before I get my kids out the door, a reminder pops up on my phone to do all things in love. Because I know that's one of my times when I fail, is trying to do something, get a specific task done. I have gone through on the back of your handout, I have given you all 10 of my verses that pop up throughout the day. I kid you not, my husband teases me all the time because of this. We'll be driving somewhere and a Bible verse will pop up over the directions. He's like, get rid of that Bible verse. But I know what happens in my day. My brain is not going to bring up these verses. And more often than not, these verses have come into my life at specific times when I am right in the middle of yelling at my kids, or I am right in the middle of being really frustrated on a drive. And this is situational. This is planned situational meditation, because then when the verse pops up, I can just say it over and over. And oftentimes my brain is in no way in a headspace to actually think deeply in that. But if I am repeating that verse over and over again, my actions start coming in line with my godly desires. The one other thing I will say about situational meditation is take a breath. God has created our bodies with limbic systems that are fight and flight. Taking a deep breath and repeating the verse allows us to take a step back and create space for us to be the person that we desire to be. So I'm going to give you an example of a situational meditation from my life. This was done on an hour and 30 minute drive to take my kids skiing. They were watching a TV show in the back or doing homework, and I was driving in relative silence. Just before we left, my phone popped up, as it does, with the reminder, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith." So with that fresh on my mind, instead of turning on the radio or listening to a podcast, I started to pull this verse apart in my head as I drove. I just said it over and over again. Then my mind went to a situation that happens often and happened again that day, where I frequently respond in sin. One child had been sinful to another child, causing that child to respond in a sinful way in return, and then I responded in a sinful way. Now, this is a frequent occurrence, and many other times I have actually responded well, and many situations I have not. As I thought through this verse in relation to this situation, I knew that the aim of that situation was not love because I responded sinfully, or so I thought. It's never that simple, though. My aim actually was love. As I was thinking through how I responded, I was frustrated because my child was not responding in a loving way. I wanted my kid to respond in love, but they didn't, and I was frustrated that they didn't. Now, my mind turned to God, and how he responds when he desires us to respond in love, and we don't. Now, I will not continue to take you down that road of my specific meditation because it took most of the hour and 30-minute drive, but you can get the gist of how to respond to the Holy Spirit when he brings things to your mind to allow you to deepen your growth in him. Now, we all get to do a planned meditation. So, the first 5 minutes of this planned meditation, I would ask that you put your phones in your bags or turn them face down. We are going to use the verse Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And for 5 minutes, we are going to sit in uncomfortable silence and stillness. Our own importance rests on busyness. Meditation is almost always accompanied by a drawing away, usually to nature. Being surrounded by God's mighty creation aids a reflection of his greatness. We can't do that tonight, but even as I was writing this, I was tempted to give you like tips and tricks on how to do this, but I'm not. I want you to practice bringing your mind under control. Worries that come to you, just repeat, "Be still and know that I am God." So we are going to be still for 5 minutes.
Are you allowed to write or not?
You can write, but I would... You can write. This isn't the only meditation we're doing tonight. So how about right now we just be still and know that I'm God? I'll let you write in the second or third meditation. But for right now, just be still. Okay. So now that we have been still and hopefully given our minds some time to get rid of all of the things that are weighing in, we are going to choose a short passage or verse, and I've chosen the verse for you. And we are going to do what I said before. We have to study and memorize before we can meditate. So I'm going to give you three different ways of studying or meditating on one verse. The verse, I think it's on your handout, is, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith." So who, have any of you done diagramming of Bible verses before? All right, this is a new one. Okay, so who likes grammar? Great. Okay, so we are going to start out with our subject, which is, no, I'll just do it for you, aim. All right, the aim, all right, what is our verb in here?
Is.
Is. And then what is our noun?
Love.
Love. All right. So this breaks it down to the bare bones. The aim, we've got a prepositional phrase coming out of the aim of what?
Charge.
Whose charge? Our charge. Okay? And if you're being really picky, the goes on there. But all right, the aim is love. What kind of love? Or where does the love come from?
Pure heart.
That issues. Right. Where does that issue from? We've got another prepositional phrase. From a heart. What else? We have another noun.
Conscience.
Conscience. And faith. All right, now let's go back. What kind of heart? Pure heart. What kind of conscience?
Good.
A good conscience. And what kind of faith?
Sincere.
A sincere faith. All right. This is something that I really enjoy doing with Bible verses because it helps us pull out the main. Our aim is love. The aim of what? Of our charge, what God has given us to do. That issues, where does that aim, that love come from? It comes from your heart. What kind of heart? Pure heart. So if you see, it goes through. So this is one way that you can do a Bible study, just a quick verse study that helps you meditate through that. Another way is brainstorming. So we have on your handout, there should be a spot for you to write this beautiful diagram. We also have brainstorming. So aim. Throw out some words that you would put in with aim.
Goal.
So just write them around that word. What other? Target.
Direction.
And let's move on to charge. What is a charge?
Calling.
A calling.
Responsibility.
Responsibility. Life goal. Issues.
Originates.
Mm-hmm. Comes from. Kind of brings into mind a fountain. All right. Love. What is love? Yeah, there you go. There you go. Write all of those down around it. Patient, kind, long-suffering. Sincere faith. Belief. Authentic. a good conscience.
Purity.
Mm-hmm. A judgment of right and wrong. So this is another way that you can kind of, a quick way of delving into a particular verse is just brainstorming each word. And this last one is one that I love to do, but it's the original language research. So Blue Letter Bible makes this really easy because you can just go to the concordance. But I've written a few down here, and you can pull some of those to put in your brainstorm, but goal, the end to which all things relate, the purpose. Charge is a command, message, or announcement. Love, affection, goodwill, benevolence, brotherly love. Pure, purified by fire, cleansed by pruning, so fitted to bear fruit, free from corruption. And these should all be on your handout, so you can go through. This is another way to kind of look at and delve deep down into what you are going to be thinking about when you meditate. So now we are going to do another 5-minute meditation. This one, Lexi, you can write on. But as you are meditating on this, we're going to do a little bit more of a focused meditation. How does this verse apply to your specific situation? How does this verse or truth affect your actions, your attitude, your situation, your contentedness, your joy in Christ? For example, think of a situation in your life you were discontented with, responded poorly or frustrated. Now ask these questions. What was my purpose in life in that situation? The end goal is love. Was your end goal or your response loving? Did it show the love of Christ? Where did that love issue from? Was it a love of self, a love of comfort, a love of things going according to plan? Does your love issue from a pure heart? My example is always getting the kids out of the door on time to obey me. Oftentimes, my goal is not love. It's efficiency, ease, comfort. So we are going to go into a 5-minute meditation on your own situation and how I think I put those questions in the handout. You can think through, write, how do those things apply to you? Thank you. part in this meditation is prayer. So we are going to pray through the passage in your own head, phrase by phrase, using the application to your life, confessing sin, asking for strength, etc. And we're going to do that for 5 minutes. And at the end of that, bringing back into mind the verse from the beginning, be still and know that I am God. Ask God in this time to bring to mind areas that you need to bring into submission to him. So for the next 5 minutes, it's praying through the passage and asking God to bring to mind areas that you need to bring into submission for him. Continue through the passage that the theme is love. The same verse that we've been running through, and also just be still. Yes. So that wraps up our guided meditation. In overview, we had 5 minutes of silence before we looked at the verse. being still and knowing that God, that He is God. 5 minutes to review a passage, break it down, diagram it, brainstorm it. 5 minutes of meditation on that passage, how it applies, and then 5 minutes of prayer and contemplation. It's a good start into a planned meditation. We find time for things we love. This is awkward. This is not necessarily something that we are going to love right away, but it really does grow on you. It is a good way to really take time to look at your life. So in review, we have the planned meditation and the situational meditation. When you are feeling overwhelmed by a situation, take a breath. Listen to the verse. Know sometimes when we are swamped in emotions, we are too stubborn to listen to that still small voice that God is God. And that verse, be still and know that I am God, has been very helpful to me over the years of take a minute. It won't be the end of the world if you don't get there on time. It won't be the end of the world if you don't do what you were supposed to do right at the minute you were supposed to do. Take a second, know that I am God, and align your actions with what you want to be, because all of us are striving towards being more of a Christian, being better at what we want to do. We all sin when we don't want to. So taking a breath in that situation and setting yourself up for success we all have our phones all the time. Put a reminder on your phone when you know you're going to be frustrated, when you know you're going to be late, when you know this situation, you're going to meet this person who always gets under your skin. Put a reminder on your phone of a verse that will help you take a second, step back. Memorization is also a huge one. We fall back on our phones a lot, but the Holy Spirit will bring to mind verses that you have memorized. And so that is a really good buffer or boost for your meditation. And right at the end of your handout, I've given you my daily reminders of things that I fail in. So if those can be of a help to you, you are welcome to take them. I'm going to pray to close us. And Catherine reminded me to remind you to look out for the chili cook-off that is coming next month, I believe. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a natural ability to meditate. Lord, I pray that as we go out this week that we would capture that natural ability and bring it under control so that we can use it to meditate on the spiritual things that you have laid in front of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to listen to the Holy Spirit when he brings to mind verses that will help us throughout our day. And I pray that you would help us to create space in our day for planned meditation. Amen. Amen.